And your new position in life when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior is you are in Christ. You are seated in the heavenlies. You are joint heirs with Christ sitting at His right hand. And now you have this new position in life. And from that position, everything's different. Everything's different. It's not the same. You don't see your friends and family the same way you've seen them in the worldview. You don't see your circumstances the same way that you've seen them in the worldview. You don't see all of the things that are going on in your life, all of the things that were old in the same light, because now you are in a new position.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast. This morning, we welcomed back Brother Mark Abney as our guest preacher. Brother Mark delivered a great sermon preaching from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. We trust that Brother Mark's message will bless you, and we hope that it inspires you on your walk with Christ. And now, Brother Mark.
Hello? Did y'all miss me?
Yes.
Oh, I like that. Thank you. I missed y'all. We've been, 12,000 miles? Something like that. So it's been a long journey. We've seen a lot of people and we've seen a lot of sights and we've seen God at work in different places. Turn, if you will, in your Bible to 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21. You know, let's start with 17. We'll skip 16. You can look at 16 when you get back home. Or you can go look at the whole chapter. Put it in context. Check it out. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Verse 17, therefore, and if there's a therefore, that means you have to go see what it's there for, so you have to go back and look. So we're going to start with 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. Amen? Amen. This is all from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making His appeal through us, we implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Father God, take Your word, put it in our hearts, that we might not sin against You, Lord. Help us to meditate upon Your word. Help us to ruminate it, Lord. Help us to bring it forth in our lives daily. Lord, in this passage of Scripture, Lord, I pray that You would help us to see the position that we're in. All these things I pray in Christ's name, and the church said, amen. You may be seated. I'm getting warm. Let me take this coat off. So, Paul says that you're a new creation. The old is passed away, the new has come. You're in Christ. He uses that word, in Christ, some 73 times in his letters. He loves that term. You are in Christ. You are in Christ. You are in Christ. You got it? If I ask you today where you are, you're going to say, I am in Christ. Amen? We're in Christ. And so, what is he talking about? He says, the old has passed away, the new has come. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Paul is saying that it's no longer the same. You're different. You're changed. You have a new world that you live in. Is that right? So anyway, here we come and we get saved and we ask Jesus to come into our life and we make that profession of faith. We have faith. We believe that He is God in the flesh. It's come to man to take our sins upon Himself, to die on the cross with our sins, and then to be raised from the grave by God the Father, and He is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I, and that's where He is. Amen? And we believe that. Amen? Church, say, we believe that. Amen? That's the truth. And so that's the gospel message in a nutshell. And if we don't believe that, if we don't believe that Jesus was God's Son, that God was in Jesus, then this is all foolishness. We're just coming here on a glorified meeting. It has no value. But the church believes that Jesus Christ was God's Son. Amen? And that's why we're here, to worship Him because of what He did for us. He took our place. He took our debt load. He took our sins upon Himself, and He died for us, and He made us free of all of our sins, that we might be able to step into the Holy of Holies and come into the presence of God. So we are in Christ. So when we get saved, we come out of salvation, and when we step into our new world, things aren't the same anymore. Amen? But whenever I got saved and I asked Jesus to come into my heart and I went back home, I still had the same old circumstances going on. I still had the same spouse. I still had the same family. I still had the same problems. Everything was still the same. What's he talking about new? I didn't see anything new. Well, you're in Christ. Is that different? Is that a change? Is that something that's new? So we come to this place where he says, you have come to a new thing in your life. You're no longer the same. You're a new creation in Christ. And he's talking about this in Christ thing. How many of y'all have ever had a preconceived notion of how things was going to look in life? You know, I grew up with watching Leave It to Beaver. So I thought that whenever Ward come home, you know, he would be out working all day. He'd come home from the office, he would kick off his shoes, he'd sit in the easy chair, and then he'd be called for supper, and you'd go eat supper, and then he would go sit back down in the easy chair, and then he would go to bed. And everything was hunky dory. You know, hunky dory is a word. It's not in the Bible, but it's a word. Don't judge me. So whenever I got married and I thought that's the way it would be, that's not how it was. That wasn't reality. That preconceived notion that I had in my mind that that's how the way things would be was not correct. And so we have these preconceived notions in life that we think that this is how life should be. And we're raised with a world view of life. Now, there's two views in life. Two. There's a world view, and there's an in Christ view. You're either in the world, or you're in Christ. You're either in the world, or you're in Christ. There's no middle. There's no middle view. There's no other view. There's two views. In Christ, or in the world. Let's talk about this worldview for a minute. Now, here's this worldview. Okay, now listen to this. Your performance will dictate your position. That's the worldview. Your performance dictates your position. So let's put that in a practical example, okay? If your performance dictates your position, if you go practice volleyball every day, you're probably going to be a pretty good volleyball player. Because performance dictates position. If you want to be a good student, and you're a very good student, you take care of your book work, and even though you may go through math 3 years in a row, don't judge me on that, you may go through math 3 years in a row, if you make it through school, and then you go on to college, and you make it through college, excuse me, then you're going to get a good job, and if you get a good job, you're going to have a two-story house with a wife and children and a dog named Spot. Amen? That's what we're taught from a very early age, and that is the practical example of practice, performance dictating your position. Performance dictating your position. Okay? That's the worldview. The God view is the opposite of that. The in Christ view is the opposite of that. Listen to this. Your stand dictates your performance. Your stand dictates your performance. Now, if you don't get anything else out of this message, I want you to get this. As a Christian, your walk will never dictate your stand, but your stand will always dictate your walk. That's deep, isn't it? Think about that for a minute. If you write things down, that's a good thing to write down. And if you don't write things down, it's a good time to start, because that is good stuff right there, my friend. That is good stuff. Your walk will never dictate your stand, but your stand will always dictate your walk. You see how it's different? You see how in Christ, Paul's not talking about your circumstances. Paul's not talking about your friends and family. Paul's not talking about all these world things in life. He's talking about your new position in life. And your new position in life, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, is you are in Christ. You are seated in the heavenlies. You are joint heirs with Christ, sitting at His right hand. And now you have this new position in life. And from that position, everything's different. Everything's different. It's not the same. You don't see your friends and family the same way you've seen them in the worldview. You don't see your circumstances the same way that you've seen them in the worldview. You don't see all of the things that are going on in your life, all of the things that were old, in the same light, because now you are in a new position. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, and you are looking at things through Christ's eyes, the way Christ sees them. All of a sudden, that family member you couldn't love, you're able to love them. All of a sudden, that circumstance that you hated to be in, you're able to endure it. And what's the difference? Your position. Your position has changed. And when your position has changed, nothing looks the same. Everything is different. And it's all about position. It's all about position. So listen, if my performance can never change my stand, and my stand always changes my performance, where's the power in that? In Christ. The power is in Christ. If we go back and look at that verse a minute. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Well, God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And God hates sin. God will always judge sin. God always judges sin. So, here are you and I when we come before Christ and we have this sin load, this debt load. And there's no way that you and I can get rid of it. And we have to pay for this sin in our life. We have to pay the price. And there's a high cost for sin. And so when we come before Christ and before God with our sin, and we say, we believe that Jesus was God's only Son and that He died on the cross for our sins. And that we want Him to be the redemption of our sins for us. And we ask Him to come into our lives and we say, Jesus is Lord. He takes our sin load from us. He takes our debt away from us. And we no longer have that debt, and we are free of that debt. And sin is bondage. It will keep you bondage. And when we come to Christ and we give Him our sins, excuse me, I got the Romanian fever. And when we come to Christ and He takes our sins from us, we are free. We are free indeed, because we no longer have that debt load. Just think about it as a regular debt. If you had a credit card and you run, and this is possible in the world, you can run up a lot of money on a credit card that you're not able to pay for. That's very possible in this life we live. And you keep running up that debt, and all of a sudden they say, hey, your payment is this much, and you say, I can't make that anymore. That's too high. I don't make that much money. They say, well, I'm sorry, you have to pay this debt. There's no way out of it. So you continue to pay and pay, but your interest is higher than what your payment is, and your debt just keeps getting higher and higher and higher. And there's no way to pay for it. Well, that's like your sin debt. There's no way to pay your sin debt. So when Christ stepped in and he said, you know what? I'll pay your credit card off for you. I'll pay your debt load for you if you just ask me to. And that's what he did for us. He became our propitiation for our sins. He became our redeemer, someone who took our sins from us and redeemed us and made us a new creation. Everything is new. The old is gone. The new is here. So my performance no longer is dictating my stand, but my stand is dictating my performance. And you see, the difference is my position in Christ. The power is in Christ, and it's in Christ that I have the power to perform. Now, I don't know about you, but I know about me. And here's me. I'm always trying to perform in my power as a Christian. I want to say, I did that. This is what I've done for you. And many times I will say, Lord, I've done all these things for you. Have you taken note of that? Have you seen all these things that I've done for you? And if we're not careful, this whole church service can be about me and you and what you've done and what I've done, not about what God's done. And we need to be careful that we don't make this an I, me religion. Because the power is not in me. The power is in Christ. And I'm seated at the right hand of Christ because of what he done for me. He made me joint heirs with himself, and he gave me the power. He gave me power of attorney. And it's in here. He says, I have the power to do great things. And he says, you see the great things that I did in here? He says, you even have more power because the Holy Spirit lives within you. And because of that, I can work through you. I can be your power if you let me. If you let me be your power. So now in this new position, all things are new. And the new thing is I am working from the highest position in the world. In the heavenlies. Seated at the right hand of God the Father, the great creator. The one who created everything. The one who has all power. He is in me. And I have that power because of what he did for me and what he's done in me. And now I'm in Christ. I'm in this new position in life. Now, this isn't the Joel Osteen position. No, it's not a position where I think I should get all the blessings, all the money, all these frills that the world thinks is good. That's not what it's about. It's about this new view, this new paradigm that I have. And the paradigm is different than the world paradigm I used to have. The world paradigm I used to have is, if I'm good enough, if I work hard enough, if I could be the right person, if I can be courteous and have good manners and take care of everything, then I'm going to be the CEO. I might even be the President of the United States if my performance is good enough. But my performance can never be good enough to be a Christian. And so I had to ask Jesus to be my performance for me. And when I asked him to be my performance for me, he come in and he came into my life and he put his power within me. And now I'm working from this new position. So what do I have to do? I have to let him work in me and through me. And that's called sanctification. That's a process. So when we get saved and we come home and nothing's changed, our old circumstances are still there. Our children are still there. Our spouse is still there. Everything that's going on in our life is still there. It's not that he changed our worldview. It's he changed our position and the way we see that now. Because now we have his power within us. With His power within you, all things are possible through God. Amen? All things are possible through God. Now, if you come upon something and you keep trying to do something and it's not working, does that mean that it's impossible with God for that to work? No. It means that God does not want to do that. God does not want to do that. So, our ways are not God's ways, amen? And if I could do that my way, I would do it like this. I'd put him in a headlock and hit him in the face a few times, you know? You need to fix yourself. Well, that's not God's ways. That's my way. And God's way is not like my way. God's way is loving other people and showing them that you care and being that salt and light that God has called us to be. And from that new position, we can do that. From the old position, it was impossible. From the worldview, I'm in competition with you all. From the in Christ view, I'm not in competition at all. I'm already seated in the highest position there ever was, at the right hand of the Father. And from that position, I don't have to compete with you. I can love you for who you are. I can love people that are impossible to love because I have this new position. I'm so glad that when Christ saved me, He gave me this new position, and that He didn't remove all the problems, all the circumstances, and everything else. We talked about this in Sunday school class. Just think about this for a minute. If God would have saved you and took away all your problems, all the people that bother you, everything in life that's hard to go through, and you could live life hunky-dory for the rest of your life, would you ever need God again? No. No. We all need God, and we all need each other. And we need God because we need to be in this position that God placed us in so that we can love others. And by loving others, they will see that we are Christians. They'll know you are Christians by what? By your love. They'll know you are Christians by your love. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives within me. Do I always do what Christ wants me to do as a Christian? No. Did Paul? No. Paul said in chapter 7, I don't always do the things I want to do, and I hate it when I do them things. I wish I could do the right thing, but I end up doing the wrong thing, and I just hate it when I do the wrong. You know, I call that the great tongue twister, because Paul could have just said, as a Christian, I don't do right all the time. He could have said that. But what he's describing is this war within himself, this battle that goes on within each and every one of us every day of our lives, whether we're going to choose to live from this position that God placed us in and use the power that God put within us to live, or we're going to choose to live under our own power. And even as a Christian, we still have that opportunity. We still have that freedom. And God says, let me live through you in my power. And we say, okay. And we go along for a while, and then all of a sudden, we want to be in charge of our own lives, and we want to take back what God has done within us and live our own lives according to the way we want to live them. And we have to continually fight that battle and say, no, no. The next time you're faced with something in your life that you know is not right, just say this. I am in Christ. And Christ is in me. And within me, I have the power to overcome this. Just say that. Whatever that is will go away. You just quote that scripture, what God has done in our lives. You just quote that back to Satan, back to your problem, back to whatever's going on. And I tell you what, it'll do a great work in your life. We are in this new position. This is all from God. That's what the scripture said. It's all from God. This is what God gave us. It's not me, and it's not you. It's all from God. Faith is this. I wouldn't have believed it. I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it. That's faith. I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it. Think about that for a minute. Blessed are those of you who have seen me and believed. But even more blessed are those of you who have never seen and yet believed. I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it. Would you stand? Pray with me. Would you go ahead and come and get ready for the music? Father God, this morning, we may be here and Lord, we may be your children. But Lord, there's been a lot of me in my life lately. So Lord, I just come this morning and I ask you, Lord, just to get me out of the way. And I want to let you, Lord, be the power within me. Lord, I want you to lead in my life. I want you to work through me that I may glorify you in my life. Lord, this morning there may be someone here that has never taken the step to ask you to be Lord of their life. They've never been in the position that I've just talked about. Lord, I pray this morning if someone is here and they've never ask Jesus to come into their life and save them and free them from their sins, that today would be the day that they would make that decision for you. Lord, I pray that whatever your will is this morning would be done. Lord, I thank you for the words that you spoke to us from your word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you placed within us. And Lord, the Holy Spirit interprets your word and convicts and draws us to you. Lord, I just pray that we'd allow your spirit to move within us, that we might allow your power to be manifest in our lives. And all these things I pray in Christ's name. We'll be singing page 315.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.